Hi, welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired, break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
There are several things that I hadn't thought of before until Nancy asked me two or three questions. And one threw me completely, which was about how my parents treated me and what impact that may have had on the way I brought up my kids. And that is something I hadn't really thought of. So there was some thought here that I was not anticipating, but I'm glad it happened.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. Well, Priscilla Vang owns a payroll vault franchise in St. Paul, Minnesota, and is our sponsor for today's mentoring conversation. Priscilla discovered through helping clients find tax solutions that they need a payroll service they can count on. She's taken her client-focused skills, accountancy degree, and technology-driven software tools to help business owners redefine how they do payroll. This saves time and money. You can call 651 with the one in front, 783-2509. That's 1-651-783-2509. Or just click on the homepage of the wementor.com button and you will see Payroll Vault and Priscilla. You can just click on. When you do, and if you decide that you would like to work with Priscilla, you can get 50% off on the set up fee when you tell her to listen that you listen to We Mentor Mondays podcast. All right, now on to today's mentoring conversation. Ursula Menges founded Sales Coach Now in 2004. She is an award-winning sales expert, inspirational speaker, and a four-book author. She is specialized in neuro-linguistic programming and teaches clients the tools needed to double and triple their sales. Her books include Selling with Intention, Selling with Synchronicity, One Great Goal, and her most recent book, The Belief Zone. Ursula grew up in the heart of Minnesota's farm country, where she learned the value of hard work and entrepreneurship from an early age. Though she loved her Minnesota home, she headed west after college with plans to attend law school in Boulder, Colorado. While working in retail and saving for law school, a fortunate twist of fate landed her in a sales position with an international computer training and consulting company. It was there that she learned the skill and art of sales. Recently, Ursula returned to her roots. The pull to move back to Minnesota to raise her family was just too great an opportunity to pass up. She joins us today. And thanks for joining the program, Ursula.
Oh my gosh, Nancy, I am so excited to be here with you. This is going to be fun.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't mind sharing with the audience a little bit that sometimes you just need to persevere through technology issues and keep trying to problem solve until you find a solution. And we certainly did that.
Well, I share the pain on my own podcast as well, the two of us. And, you know, I think there's a great lesson. It's a great reminder. That's what business is like, right?
Yeah, it's exactly right. And that's, you know, it's interesting. I was reading in One Great Goal about, you know, you say over and again that you should never give up. That if you don't reach your goal, there needs to be some adjustments, but don't give up. And we didn't give up on our conversation here today.
We didn't. I have that same saying in my kitchen, right? It's because it's true. I mean, sometimes we have to course correct, but we definitely don't have to give up. So it's a sage reminder. Apparently that was supposed to come out during our time together.
That's right. Well, you definitely practice what you preach. So I just really appreciate your patience and just an understanding of the larger things sometimes at play, that we just move at a different pace because of the way where we are in the world. And
for sure. Well, imagine, Nancy, if we stopped every time we had something frustrating happen in our businesses, right? We certainly wouldn't be having this conversation today. And it's, I mean, every day there's challenges. I know that, I'm sure that you have. And you know what, can you, we show up at a networking event, and we look all calm, cool, and collected. And behind the scenes, there could be all kinds of things going on, but we just keep going.
Exactly. Yeah, I think perseverance seems to always pay off. And you and I met earlier this year because I attended your sales camp in St. Louis Park. What a great experience. I think that everyone should go through selling. I think everyone needs intentional sales training and motivation to keep selling. So I'm really excited to kind of talk with you, have the audience learn a little bit more of your background. You are already well known. So many of the audience members already know you. I've been doing a little poll.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm blushing.
Oh, good. So I was wondering, like you, so you grew up in Minnesota. Where in southern Minnesota did you grow up?
Yeah, in a little town, well, 3 miles outside of a little town called Le Centre, which is near Mankato. That's the reference point most people know in Minnesota.
Okay. And then what were some of the things that, what was your family size and what were some of the things, the activities that really you could do for long periods of time?
Yeah, so I, my parents have myself and my two older brothers, and then they actually divorced when I was pretty young, and then my dad remarried, and my sister came along when I was 11. So we are a family of four kids, and my parents live close to each other still to this day. They get along very well. In fact, my dad just started my mom's her chicken farm. And so, so it's great. So they're very close. So I'm glad that they have always, you know, worked hard to have a good relationship for their kids, not perfect by any means, but they do their best. And so, you know, growing up on the farm was, so much fun for me because I loved animals and really thought that I was going to stay forever. I mean, that was my plan. I thought either I'm going to be a veterinarian or a farmer. But that didn't last long. I grew up in the 80s when all the farms were going by the wayside and my parents were like, you're going to have to go to college and get a good job. So that was always kind of the push out of the nest. So I was sad to leave. I mean, growing up on the farm, I had ponies. So I rode horses. I raised sheep and I showed them at the local, 4-H at the local fair because I was in 4-H. I was in FFA. I was definitely a farm girl at heart, and I really enjoyed every second of it.
Oh, great. Was that when did you start your sales career in 4-H?
Oh, you're making me laugh out loud. I never thought about that. You know, I definitely would say that I started developing my communication presentation skills in 4-H because we had to give demonstrations. We all had to do a demonstration. I would get so nervous and I had to work my way through it. But that was at a very young age, really standing up in front of people and talking was a big deal. And my parents always encouraged us and said, you know, being able to communicate in front of a group will be very important someday. Little did I know how important it would be. But I definitely started developing those skills at a young age.
Great. I've heard some other, public speakers say that some of their sales techniques started, at the fair and through 4-H because they were in front of a lot of people all the time. And so it just reminded me when you said that of, and you happen to be in communication and sales. Interesting kind of connection there. Yeah. Go ahead.
I will say this, Nancy, you're right. You're actually making me think of something in a new way. I'm sure that's what you do for everyone. My sheep were never award winning. Okay. My sheep were kind of like kind of skinny and they weren't the best. So I was pretty competitive and I couldn't win at that. Like I had one of my best friends, her sheep always went to the state fair and mine usually got red ribbons, which is kind of sad. However, one of the things that I did compete in is showmanship. And I always wanted to win and I would work so hard. So during the summer, I would spend a lot of my mornings with my sheep outside because you had to train the sheep to hold your hand, like just beneath their chin. And then they had to walk with you. And it was kind of an elegant thing to watch. And I remember getting I didn't get grand champion, but I got second place, and I thought it was the biggest deal ever. And so I, my ribbon wasn't purple. It was kind of lavender colored, but I took it. I was like, that's amazing. And so it's funny. In some ways I was selling, right? I had to sell myself. I had to sell the showmanship, and I definitely wanted to win. So.
Yeah. And you had to follow some rules. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's excellent. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad that it jarred a little bit of a different memory for you. And so you eventually, made your way through to Colorado, and maybe share a little bit about that journey.
Yeah. So one of my good friends from St. Olaf was an econ major, and her name was Jana. And Jana and I both worked at Pier One Imports in Burnsville, Minnesota. And Jana came to me one day and she's like, hey, I've got this cool opportunity for us. And I thought, really? What? Because I thought, oh, you know, with my 4-year degree, working at in retail wasn't going to get me where I thought I wanted to go. It was definitely not going to pay for law school.
Because and you were said, in well, school at St. Olaf with her getting a psychology and communications degree? Okay,
exactly.
Gotcha.
So my degree was in psychology and communication, and Jana's degree was in economics. I always thought, wow, you're going to do so well with that. Well, right out of college, though, we were both working at Pier One trying to figure out what we were going to do with our lives. And so she arranged it so that we were transferred from the Burnsville Pier One location to the Boulder, Colorado Pier One location. And we had the opportunity to live with her aunt and uncle. And they had founded a company with some other people. They had sold that company. They were very successful. And so when we moved out there, there was just kind of post company sale. And so it was a very interesting time for them. And it was very interesting for me because I learned a lot about entrepreneurship, and especially Jana's uncle, Will, was just a great mentor. And he answered a lot of my questions and really encouraged me to get into outside sales. He encouraged me to go to law school. And it was interesting because he really played a pivotal role in me thinking, yeah, I could get a job in outside sales and that could help me pay for law school. But we got to live with them in the foothills of Boulder, Colorado. I mean, it was a really nice place to land. I mean, they had this beautiful home, and then we commuted into town every day. So Jan and I lived it up for a couple of months, and then we moved into Aurora, close to Denver.
Okay. And then eventually your adventurous life kind of took another leap forward because you ended up in California.
Yeah. So after working at Pier One for about a year, I think I ended up meeting a branch manager who worked for an international computer training consulting company. And I'll never forget it. She was buying some rugs at Pier One, and we just started chatting. And she ended up helping me get an interview with this technical training company. So I interviewed, I was hired in their Denver office in outside sales. And there's a whole story there because selling was not easy for me. And so I really had to learn how to sell. But within 8 months, I started to really like it. I ended up being promoted to take on the Colorado Springs branch. I was down there for a year and ended up growing the branch to about $83,000 a month, which is an annual run of about $1 million. And so after I grew that branch with my team, I was promoted to take on an office in Southern California. So that's when I transferred from Colorado Springs to California. And, you know, I look back at that and I was only 24 years old. And I think, I just think, wow, some days I don't feel very courageous, you know, in my 40s, but I look back and I'm like, gosh, that girl had a lot of guts to do that because I didn't know a lot about business. It was really, you know, I wasn't very risk adverse yet. So I did, I just took on the opportunity and ran with it, and ended up being a phenomenal ride.
Yeah. And it seemed like you got connected with some people who really helped you along. So you had your first unofficial mentor at a young age, and he really helped you move forward. And your friend, and having a good friendship, you know, with Jana.
Yeah. And Jana actually ended up working in accounting at that company. I don't usually share a lot about that piece of the story, but I ended up helping her get a job there as well in Denver. So she stayed in Denver, worked in their accounting department, and she has said, you know, it really helped her with her career. So it all kind of worked out. But yeah, I had some great mentors at the company who really invested a lot of time in me and helped me understand just how to read a P&L report and to understand sales and numbers. And I had no idea how important that was going to be in the trajectory of my career and then starting my own business.
Yeah. And right. Numbers, numbers, numbers. Now you're working with people with numbers.
Right.
along with their life purpose and being intentional about those numbers. Well, where did you meet Tim?
Tim and I met in Colorado. So we met before I moved to California, and we, it's interesting. So Tim and I moved to Colorado. I mean, we didn't know this, but he was from North Dakota. He'd been in Minnesota for a little while. And when we look back, we realized that we hung out in some of the same places in our early 20s in Minnesota. Oh. And then, we moved to Colorado at almost exactly the same time. And 3 months after we moved there, I met Tim, and, we just clicked. We've clicked ever since. We've been together 22 years now. We just laugh at that. married 15. We have an almost 5-year-old now. And, you know, in some ways it seems like yesterday. It seems like we've only been together a few years. It's hard to believe it's been 22 years already.
That's great. Wow. Yeah. And all the things that you've done, because you eventually then moved to California because there were opportunities that you were good at, seeing an opportunity and kind of going for it. And international computer training and consulting seemed to be such a growing company, because if that was in the 80s, so are they still in existence now?
It was in the 90s, and they are not in existence. Okay. Yeah. So this was 96. When I 96, I moved to Colorado. I think it was 96, 97 when I first started with, the company was called Knowledge Alliance, and they grew really fast. And then after 9/11, it was a tough time for training companies everywhere, because at that time there wasn't a lot of virtual training. And so, all of our competitors, everybody suffered. I mean, a lot of companies suffered at that time. And, obviously a lot of people, there's just a lot of suffering in general, but it really, really did hurt our company. And then, you know, it took a while to kind of recover. And then a lot of other things happened with the company, but it was an interesting time. Yeah. In the 90s. So it was hot. Like that was a hot opportunity. There was a lot of technical training happening, and it was a growing industry. So, I mean, you know, Tim was such a great supporter. He still is. He's my biggest cheerleader. But even in my early 20s, like I remember moving from Colorado Springs to California, and Tim said he would follow me. Like I'll eventually make it out there. And I was like, I don't know if I believe you. And so Tim gave me his cat, MJ, who was like his child. And so MJ and I moved to California first. And I remember telling Tim, you know, before I moved, I said, you know, I really want to be the president of this company someday. And it was one of those moments I'll never forget, because Tim could have said, really, right? Like I'm 23 I think I was almost 24 at the time. Really?
Why? Yeah, he could have burst your bubble.
Yeah. He said, yeah, absolutely. Why not you? He's like, you are on this great journey. And so, and there's nothing I could say to Tim that he wouldn't believe me or think, yeah, of course you can do that. So we're definitely lucky to have each other.
Yeah. And for you to follow your, you know, where do you think that vision came from?
You know, I have to credit my mom. And my dad, I mean, both had big visions for their kids, but my mom, like, I don't know. She looked at me when I was a kid. She thought I could do anything. I mean, all of our kids, like she kind of like Tim in that same way, but I'll never forget. She said to me one time, she said, you know, someday you're going to wear suits and you're going to be able to afford to have someone clean your house. And that still kind of gets me choked up, because for her, that would have been such a big deal. Now, my mom was a nurse. She's retired, still working two jobs just for fun because she gets bored very easily. But it was one of those pivotal things that I never forgot, because I thought my mom can see me doing that. So then I could see that vision of, you know, being a businesswoman and really like having enough money to have all of those things that she didn't have then.
Oh, well, you explaining that, then it isn't surprising to me that in your book, One Great Goal, you have a heading in there on page 72 that says, avoid small thinking.
Wow, you're well studied, Nancy. That's incredible.
Well, it's funny because, well, I think you and I have this synchronicity, because I had just a couple of things written down from your One Great Goal, and it just happens like you're like laying it out right in front of me, you know, because that is such a big, I think that that is very problematic in our society of us. And maybe it's not having that we don't have bigger visions, but maybe it's that they get squelched so yes. frequently, either by ourselves or we're circled with the wrong kinds of people that can't, you know, if they can't see the vision themselves, then they can't really get behind it.
I definitely, especially living through the recession in California was pretty interesting because I saw so many dreams squashed. And, you know, we almost lost everything because of all the real estate we owned and just, I mean, everything plummeting. And, you know, Tim and I really had to reassess where we were in our lives. But I look at that time, though, and we both looked at each other and said, you know what? We're going to build it again. And the other person that said it to me was my mom. She's like, well, you made a lot of money. You lost a lot of money. You'll make a lot of money again. And I was like, you know what, mom, you're always right about that.
Wow.
And it was that belief, because that's why I wrote the book, The Belief Zone. You know, on the one hand, we have to work on our own beliefs. On the other hand, who's holding our beliefs with us and for us when we can no longer see them? And Nancy, when I look back at my life, I think of, and I'm grateful for the mentors, the parents, the coaches, my spouse, you know, all the people that held a belief for me when I couldn't, because believe me, there were many times when I had given up. I remember one time I'm writing about this in my next book. I actually threw my vision board in the garbage and my husband got it out and unwrinkled it and put it back in my office. And I thought that's someone who believes in my dreams more than I do right now. But
yeah.
I, you know, it's such, there's something about that because we as humans, we can have very, like, we'll go from big dreams and then something will happen. We'll just shrink back down. But you got to have those people who hold the bigger visions with you.
Yeah, that can be taken in a biblical sense as well, because there's a picture of like two footprints and then eventually one.
Yes.
Of,
yes.
You know, so Jesus was holding the person, carrying them.
Yes. That gives me chills.
Through
the sand.
Yeah. You know, as a visual, it's a very famous, I think there's a poem that goes with it too.
Yes.
I'm drawing a blank with who wrote the poem, but it just reminds me, that we do need people to hold us when we can't hold ourselves. And when we lose our focus or the belief in something that we had our heart set on and it gets broken, that we have the people that can help carry us through.
Yes. And our faith, you know, you know, God, whoever it is, whoever you believe in that's carrying you. But yeah, many times, I mean, the recession was tough. I mean, in California there, I wrote about that in my last book of just times of like, just being hit in the ground. Like sometimes we were on our knees. It was like, there was nothing left. And it was a really painful time. And then I look back and I think we were able to come back from that faster than I could have even imagined. And so it's that reminder that, you know, especially for people who are listening right now, that you might be at that low, but just know that often we're still 3 feet from gold, as Napoleon Hill talked about.
That's right. So how did you build back up?
Yeah, we paid a lot of investors back. And so it was interesting about that. During that time, as my business was growing, and yet I remember a month when there were six mortgages I had to pay because Tim and I had to pay because we couldn't sell them. We couldn't flip them. The market had crashed. No one was rent. We couldn't rent them out. And so, and then we had investors to pay back. So it was this, I grew the business really quickly because a lot of that money had to go back to pay people off. So we paid all of our investors back. So people who had invested with us, and we didn't have to do that.
But good for you. Yeah.
Made it happen. And that was tough. We looked at filing bankruptcy, but we actually were making too much money. And I said, you know, this is a great problem. We're making, like, it would just been a, you know, a high end payment plan. So thank God, like we stayed really, thank God.
Yeah.
The God, like we stayed focused on growing our businesses and our careers. And it was tough. There were a couple years where I can remember, like, I didn't buy a new anything for myself. And Tim and I kept saying, it's temporary. You know, and then we knew we were going to move back to Minnesota. We thought we would have a baby. And so, like, you know, I look back though, and it was all bringing us back here. Cause I don't know if the recession hadn't happened or if the things hadn't happened the way they did, if we would have moved back to Minnesota. So I think a lot of it was just divine guidance and timing and just kind of moving things around. But
Sure.
We just stayed committed to it, and we had to make some sacrifices, but now we appreciate it. And now we live in a different way anyway. We're just more careful with, we're a little risk averse, but we still think big.
Yeah, I think there's a from any financial lessons, it's like when money comes in easy, you think it's always going to be coming in easy. Or if you've got your money in the stock market in certain stocks, you always think it's going to go up. Or when you have your business, employees think that the business is always going to keep growing, so like you're going to get raises.
Right.
But that whole model of thinking was destroyed after 9/11. I don't know of anyone who hasn't changed how they're working, and it just really transformed their whole life. And especially also with the recession that occurred in 2008, that reminded us that real estate, that we really need to know what we're signing when we're buying real estate, and be careful about how we're investing our monies.
Yeah. And, or own it outright. Like that's our whole focus now, is kind of that, you know, that risk, even like the depression mentality, right? We could have learned a lot from our grandparents, and I know right. Some of that knowledge rolled down, but then, you know, times were great. And we had to learn, Tim and I, we had to learn our own lessons, and we've learned quite a few. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is a good time to kind of wrap up our first conversation. Some really good nuggets in here regarding your story. I was wondering if there was one other thing you could talk about, and we could finish out our conversation about the accountability whisperer. In One Great Goal, you talk about, as a coach, and I'm quoting, "I believe in the power of external and internal accountability. Staying committed to your one great goal journey is probably the most difficult part. The truth is, we can't reach our one great goal alone. And why would we want to? You need people in your life who support your goals and help hold you accountable until you reach them. However, it's important to choose these people carefully. Don't share your sole purpose and one great goal with just anyone." I think that's been kind of the theme of our conversation. "Pay attention to their power of belief in you and your goal and their level of concern for your success. You don't need anyone's negative energy dragging you down," end quote.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that piece of One Great Goal. I think that's one of the most important parts of the book, because we can't do it alone. And why would we not? Why would we want to? I love saying that. Why would we want to do it alone, right? We're human beings. We're here to be connected and to support each other. And I think as entrepreneurs, we can spend a lot of time as, you know, lone rangers behind our computers, and we feel like we have to do it all by ourselves. And when I figured out, you know, when I really started to understand the gift of coaching, and then I, you know, realized that I wanted to be a coach, I saw the power in that. And whether it's coaches or mentors, just someone who's been where you want to go is more powerful than anything you could imagine. As long as they, as you mentioned, Nancy, as long as they hold your dream sacred as well, right? Like, you want someone who you trust with it. And it is important not to share it with everyone, because you're going to have the naysayers, and then it just kind of puts holes and doubt in your own belief. One of the terms that's kind of hot out there now, and this wasn't a thing when I was writing One Great Goal, but there's this idea of being surrounded by expanders. And expanders are those people in your life and your business who've helped you expand in some way. There's a woman named Lacey Phillips, and she's out there in the podcasting world. She's talking a lot about this idea. And I think it's brilliant, because it, you know, think about the people who have expanded you to that next level. And now, you know, for whatever your goals might be, who are the people that are where you want to be that could help you expand even more? My own business, I've spent time with Brian Tracy. I mean, he's one of the most incredible sales trainers and experts in the world. He's written, you know, I think he's written 80 books now, probably going to 100. And he's someone I spent 3 days with, and I just soaked it up, and he's become a mentor as well. And he's the reason I got my last book deal. I mean, the guy, like, just those people can make one call for you or make one connection or say one word to you, and all of a sudden you've expanded to the next level. So
beautiful.
I guess that's my, yeah.
Well, and you've been expanding people's lives for many, many years, you know, and I would like to talk, if you've got some time, for one more conversation. Actually, maybe we'll do this, you know, on and off over the years. But I would like to talk about your sales coach business that you founded in 2004.
Mm-hmm. Sure. It's, you know, So originally, the business was Potential Quest Inc. and we rebranded in 2009 as Sales Coach Now. So it was, in the beginning, it was business coaching, and then it morphed into
I hate
into
to interrupt,
coaching.
Ursula.
Yeah.
We've got to finish out this conversation. I was wondering if we could delve into that in a little bit more detail in a second conversation.
Sure, of course. Yes.
Great.
Absolutely.
Terrific. Okay. All right.
I'm sorry.
No, it's perfectly fine. It's great. This has been a fantastic conversation. I really appreciate you so much, and the energy that you bring to any situation, I think, is always really powerful and positive. So thank you for being here and putting your work out into the world. And we shall have another conversation so our listeners can gather some more information from you. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer. Mon frère, brother from another mother, you're the best too. You solved our problem for today. So take some of the gems that you learned, everybody, in our conversation and apply them immediately in your life and see how it can work with you while you discover and uncover one great goal and circle yourself with the right people to help you achieve it. See you next week. Thanks, Ursula.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Do you want to promote your business and grow in your leadership skills? Here are a few ways you can promote your business and get leadership help through We Mentor, Inc. You can be a podcast guest. Challenge yourself to share who you are on air. We'll help you out. Secondly, you can sponsor our podcast program. You can invest a small fee to have you and your company name announced at the beginning and end of one or more shows. The third way that you can promote your business and grow in your leadership skills is you can set up an individual strategy session to do work one-on-one with me, focusing on specific life and leadership issues and skills you want to acquire. Or the fourth way is you can join an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab. These ELM labs start throughout the year. They are small groups of 5 to 9 business owners who are out to profoundly shift their lives and lead with authenticity. In 2016, I became a registered yoga instructor and mindfulness meditation teacher. I also became certified online with Brené Brown's Brave Leadership and Courage Works courses to learn an effective process of being all in, falling, getting up, and trying again. In turn, I can mentor others in how to dare greatly and rise strong. I feel better equipped to help you forge ahead in these times of great uncertainty. Our Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab process is an integrated approach to leadership development. We do yoga, meditation, and leadership revolution skill setting. Yes, we will help you learn how to strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, and increase your emotional stamina as part of our leadership development process, along with learning about real-world business planning and strategic planning. We do what works. Get involved, get started. You can reach me at 612-804-8920 or go to wementor.com and connect with us. Lastly, if you like our podcast program, help us keep it going. You can donate to our program. Just go to the wementor.com website, click on buy button, and fill in the donation amount that you would like to contribute. We appreciate any and all contributions. See you next week.